My name is Naomi Porter, and I'm interviewing the CEO of Girl Scouts of Greater Los Angeles. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, thank you, Naomi. Thank you for being here and choosing to interview me. Yes, so I actually was a Girl Scout in fourth grade. I was about 9 years old, and my family had just moved to Santa Monica, California, and we were in a new city and a new school, and so I was a little bit nervous, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was also a little bit insecure. I was an overweight child, and so I felt not terrific about myself. I unfortunately became the target of bullies, and that was a very difficult time for me. But my mother, who knew something was up, even though I didn't tell her about the bully, she knew something was wrong. She registered me for our local Girl Scout troop. And that was a huge turning point in my life. I felt the sisterhood when I would say the Girl Scout promise with the other girls in the room. I felt like I meant it with all my heart.
Yeah.
And I felt like I could do anything. And that experience, being in Girl Scouts and earning my badges, and I camped at Osito Rancho, and I made a worry stone, and I still have it today that I use. That was a really important part of my formation in leadership, like learning what did it mean to be a leader.
Right.
And I gained a lot of confidence during my time in the Girl Scouts. And that really helped not only help me get through the bully situation,
right,
but moving onward in life, it's helped me in all of my endeavors.
That's great. Can you tell our listeners about your journey to becoming CEO of Girl Scouts of Greater Los Angeles?
Ooh, wow, that's a long one.
Mm-hmm.
The journey has been not an expected one. I started out in entertainment and worked on television series. I worked on a show called a lot of shows, but the ones that are probably the most well known are X-Files and 6 Feet Under. And a lot of stinkers too. Those were really popular, but there's always a group. And from there, during the time I was working in television, my husband and I started our family. And as that started to happen, I began to feel a pull towards their nutrition and well-being.
Yeah.
So because I could not find the food that I wanted to feed them on the store shelves, my husband and I started a business, organic food business for children. And so we left, he was also in television, we left show business together, and we started a company to sell, it was fresh organic baby food, and then we grew it into, older kids. But anyway, so I learned a lot of entrepreneurial skills because I learned how to start my own company and I learned how to start my own company. I learned what it meant to do everything from emptying the trash can to, securing funds for the company. From there, I moved into, we were members of our local church, St. Paul the Apostle, mm-hmm. in Westwood, and I started getting more involved in our kids' schools and also the after-school activities. So I decided that I wanted to take on religious education, and I became a person who created the programs for the school and the church for religious education. And then from there, I was doing a lot of research on how kids, especially in the stages of adolescence, learn how to thrive.
Huh.
So the question is, what ingredients does it take for well-being when you're a kid. It's not just what you're not doing. Are you not smoking? Are you not using drugs? Are you not involved in high-risk behaviors?
Right.
That's good.
Definitely.
But also, what makes you go, what makes you thrive? The absence of those things doesn't, that's good, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're doing phenomenal. It just means
right.
you're not doing those things. So how do you get from just that to thriving? And so I started working with a academic research center called the Thrive Center for Human Development. And all of our research was focused on how do you help adolescents thrive?
Wow.
And that was based on a research model that was done by many scientists. I'm not a scientist or a researcher, but people with really big brains worked on this project. So it was Dr. Sarah Schnitker, Dr. Ben Holtberg, and Dr. Pamela King. And the three of them, along with myself, would look at this research and then say, how can we translate these findings into tools that could be used by troop leaders, youth leaders, parents, coaches, to help adolescents learn how to thrive. And that work, I think, is what caught the attention of GSGLA.
Yeah, I bet.
And so I started having conversations with them, and it just turned out that the current, the former CEO,
yeah.
Lise Lookins, who was an absolute rock star, she was getting to a place where she was saying, I'm ready for my next chapter. I want to retire from this. I want to do something else.
Yeah.
And so it just worked out that I thought, wow, this could be a wonderful opportunity.
For
so
sure.
That is a very long answer to your
That's perfect
question.
Answer. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So what are your hopes and dreams for GSGLA?
Well, this is, I think, week two.
Right.
So I need to dig in a little more deeply to be able to answer that question in its fullest way.
Right.
But my initial thoughts are a little bit about what we were talking about earlier before you started the recording, which is how do we find a way for older girls to access Girl Scouts, to be able to start, you know, midway through and feel like you're a
right.
part of a group and not feel, you know, that you don't belong. I think it would be wonderful for Girl Scouts to be available for all girls everywhere. I think accessibility,
yeah.
Removing barriers to Girl Scouts, like
for
whatever
sure.
a barrier may be to becoming a Girl Scout, whether it's we don't have a troop leader or membership dues we can't
right.
afford, or is it where we're located, we can't seem to get a troop together. You know, I would love to remove as many barriers as possible. And then the other thing I think about a lot is how do we amplify all the good works that you Girl
right.
Scouts are doing, right? You're doing incredible things. And I don't think people understand all that you're doing as Girl Scouts. Because, you know, when you think of Girl Scouts, you think
of
cookies. And we
for
love
sure.
cookies, right? I mean, well, those cookies are phenomenal. And we, you know, every year we really look forward to receiving them. But there's all kinds of other things
yeah.
that the Girl Scouts do along with the cookies. And so I would say that I would really like for people to understand and know, like, all of the way the girls are positively impacted in their lives by participating in Girl Scout activities.
Right. That's great, definitely. So much more than just cookies.
Yes.
Do you have any advice for girls who want to pursue careers in business?
Yes, I'd say go for it, you know. Don't let your insecurities or doubts or questions hold you back. You can't know everything, and the only way you're going to learn is by getting out there and doing. Ask lots of questions. I think a really important part of that is find a mentor.
Yeah.
Mentors are really, really key. And if you can find a mentor and you are not afraid to make mistakes, you can succeed.
That's awesome. What do you do to enjoy in your free time?
Ah, free time. Ha, ha, ha. I love spending time with my daughters and husband. Family is very, very important to me. So in the free time, I love spending time together. This summer, we went to the Grand Tetons and we hiked, and that was wonderful. And so I love spending time with my family, and I love, one of my favorite times is doing that outdoors.
For sure. Who has been the biggest influence in your life?
Oh, wow. That is a really good question. Different people for different reasons, whether it's around parenting, like when I was first became a parent, like, or whether it was around business and trying to grow my own business, or my, you know, spiritual self in terms of growth there. I think that I would have to say, in the big picture, each one of those categories were really strong women that I admired.
Yeah.
So I've been shaped by a lot of really wonderful women.
Yeah. How do you think that we can grow and improve the Girl Scout movement?
Well, I think we're doing a wonderful job of it. And I think we keep doing a lot of what we're doing, which is reaching girls in places that wouldn't ordinarily have Girl Scout troops. One of the things I'm really proud of here is our partnerships with schools and different organizations like the Y, where we will offer the Girl Scout curriculum to an after-school program. And it makes it easier sometimes for a girl to be able to go from school, you know, not having to leave the premises,
right,
and go right into a troop meeting.
Mm-hmm. Accessibility.
Accessibility is key. So increasing accessibility is really, really important. And again, going back to just amplifying all of the opportunities that Girl Scouts provide. I think that if we can continue to work down those two paths, I think it'd be wonderful things for Girl Scouts.
For sure. Okay, so before we wrap up, are there any last thoughts or stories you would like to add?
My goodness, you ask really good questions. I think the thought that I would have here is, you know, never give up whatever it is you're pursuing. Because even when there's setbacks, how you respond to setbacks forms your character more than the setback itself, right? So you've heard the term, it's not falling down, it's getting up and all that, right? There's songs about it. But there's real truth in that and real wisdom in that, that when you come across an obstacle, getting through the obstacle and how you manage that obstacle builds who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And building character is something that no one else can take away from you. Circumstances can't change that. And it's something that will help you in your life no matter what you just choose to do.
Yeah. So. Okay, well, thank you so much for your time. Yeah. I will finish. And-